you worry sometimes when you're speaking English that you are not sounding as polite as you would like to be? In today's lesson, I'll teach you 30 phrases that will help you be polite, and it will help you get what you want when you're speaking English because people will think you're so kind and polite, they will want to help you out. Let's get started with today's lesson so that you can sound like a kind and polite and professional English speaker. Instead of just saying, "Can I have it?" when you want something or you want someone to hand you a physical object, try out saying, "Could I take a look at it?" This phrase comes off a lot more gentle and passive when you want to hold something in your hand. Maybe someone is trying to figure out how to use something. Let's say the television remote. They don't know how to do it and you don't feel patient. So instead of just saying, "Can I have it? Give it to me," you say, "Hey, let me take a look. Can I take a look at it?" Now, similarly, we want to avoid phrases like, "Give it to me." That sounds really stern, really harsh. It sounds like you're in a bad mood. In order to sound polite, we might use a phrase, "Could I get one of those, please?" Let's say that someone is handing out different papers to a group. Maybe you're in a meeting and they're handing out papers that say the agenda for the meeting. Instead of just saying, "Give me that. Can I have it?" say, "Could I get one of those, please?" Now, in any language, in any culture, it's definitely rude to make a person wait while you're doing something, especially, you know, if you're late, if you're going too slow, and people are impatient. Instead of saying, "Hurry up," we can use a phrase like, "Hey, no rush, but we are short on time." So we're using, you know, "but" after saying "no rush" to let the person know that we are needing them to hurry up, but we're not just saying, "Hurry up, let's go, come on." Because those phrases come off as a little aggressive and rude. We're softening our speech. We're saying, "Hey, no rush." That means I don't want to pressure you. Even though we are in a rush, we're trying to go fast. No rush, but we're a little short on time. This phrase, "short on time," it means we have somewhere to go. We don't have a lot of time to spend doing this. And, you know, it just shows that you would appreciate if the person tried to do their job a little faster. Now, I will say, you know, if you're working and you're going to the driver's license facility, a government facility in the United States, they are going to be slow no matter what. I know it's kind of the same in every other country. But, you know, if you tell them, "Oh, no rush, but I'm short on time," they're probably going to go slower. So in any other case, besides trying to get your driver's license or government documents, this phrase would be helpful and it would be polite to use in the United States. Similarly, you could say, "Hey, no rush, but I do have to go soon," or "No rush, but I only have a few minutes." It's just politely letting the person know that you do have to leave soon. It's politely hurrying them along without just saying, "Hurry up, I gotta go, my time's really important." So one thing we want to be very careful about in speaking English is we don't want to make our phrases and our sentences orders, like we're ordering someone around, we're telling them what to do. We want to be offering suggestions so that, you know, they know what we want them to do, but they don't feel like we're being, you know, a drill instructor, very harsh and very strict. So instead of telling your guests at your house, "Hang up your coats right there," you might want to say, "Hey, feel free to hang up your coats right there." This phrase, "feel free," I find this to be very useful to offer a suggestion of what you want the person to do. I actually use this with my own young children a lot. "Hey, feel free to come to the table and eat dinner." This usually works without me having to say, "Come on, it's dinner time, let's go. Hey, feel free to come sit with us." And then, you know, a lot of times my kids are like, "Oh, you're offering a nice suggestion. Sure, I'll do it." So obviously I want my children to come eat with us. I'm basically telling them to, but I'm trying to be more tact and more, you know, gentle in my suggestions so that way they feel like I'm not being harsh or rude. So you can use this not just with children, but just with anyone. "Hey, feel free to send me that email today." That means I want you to send it, but, you know, feel free to send it if it's ready. So a lot of times if we want someone to start a task a little early, we'll say, "Feel free to start early if you want to." This just means like you're welcome to do it early. It actually would be helpful. So this phrase, "feel free," it's very useful when you're suggesting something to someone that you want them to do before, you know, you start sounding more harsh and more forceful. Obviously, there are situations where you do need to be forceful. Like, I need this email. I need this report by 2 o'clock. Feel free to send it to me before 2 o'clock. It's just a polite way to ask them to do it early. Another way we use this phrase, feel free, is when we want to make sure that somebody knows, if they're our guest, that they can do things in their house by themselves or they can access things by themselves. So you could say, hey, feel free to get yourself something to drink. This just means if you're thirsty, like go ahead and open the fridge, get a cup out. I'm not going to be serving you this whole time. Now, sometimes, you know, people are more formal and they'll say, can I get you anything to drink? And if the person says, no, I'm not thirsty right now, you might say, oh, feel free to get something later if you want. So this just comes off, again, as very polite, very gentle, very courteous way of just saying, you know, get yourself a drink if you want it. Obviously, that is way more rude to say. So this phrase, feel free, is softening the suggestion. Another really important phrase that I like to teach my students is if you are welcoming someone into your home or your space or, you know, even a client into your business, you can say, feel free to make yourself at home. This is just a polite way of saying, sit down and relax, like enjoy yourself, feel comfortable. Because those all come off as orders rather than a suggestion. Make yourself at home or feel free to make yourself at home. This means just feel comfortable. Feel like you're at home. And most people take this as a nice way of just saying, like, you can sit down, get yourself something to drink, something to eat. Like, don't feel like you have to feel uncomfortable and you're putting on, you know, a professional face. You can just relax a bit. Do you know what it means in English for someone to say that they are going to sugarcoat something? So this phrase, it's a really good idiom. It just means that you're going to deliver some bad news or you're going to say something that's pretty negative, but you're going to try to make it sound good. It's kind of like someone is eating some disgusting, bad tasting food, but you're adding a ton of sugar so that it tastes good. So you're adding sugar to what you're going to say to make it sound better than it is. You're kind of sugarcoating it. Sometimes in English, people say, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. This means they're going to just tell you the bad news without trying to make it sound positive, or you're not trying to make it sound like it has a bright side or a positive aspect to it. You're just saying, hey, this is the situation. It's pretty bad. It sucks. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But sometimes people do say, I'm going to try to sugarcoat it, which means you're going to make it sound like it's not that bad, like it's positive almost. There are tons of ways in English that you can kind of sugarcoat the way that you're saying things if you're in a situation where you don't want to come off too negative or you don't want to tell someone, you know, a whole bad story about something that happened, because sometimes it's just not a good time to get into negative details. One funny thing that, well, I think is funny at least, is that a lot of celebrities and influencer people online, when they are getting divorced now, they won't just say, we got divorced, we're not married anymore. I hate the person's guts. This phrase, I hate their guts, it means I really don't like them. They're, you know, using nice ways to say it. So Gwyneth Paltrow said, we are doing a conscious uncoupling. This is a way of saying that they got divorced. She got divorced from the lead singer of Coldplay. I would recommend just saying it so that people aren't confused about what you're trying to say if you do need to tell someone that you're getting divorced or you are divorced. But this is just a funny language thing that I've noticed online. If you want to say that you are no longer friends with someone, maybe you had a big fight or something really bad happened where you don't like the person anymore, but you don't want to tell someone about the big fight, you could just say, we decided to cut ties, especially if you're in a professional situation and there is a bad situation too. Like, we cut ties. That just means, like, we don't do business anymore. Not getting into the details, but, you know, we're not really connected because we cut ties. This is the idiom, we cut ties. Or if you want to, you know, kind of tell someone that you're not friends, but you don't want to talk about a fight that you had with someone, you can say, oh, we just drifted apart. This is a nice way of saying we don't talk anymore, but drifting apart typically means, you know, maybe you just didn't have a lot of things in common anymore, or, you don't live close anymore, you can kind of just be hiding the real reason why you aren't friends with someone anymore. And the last way of kind of sugarcoating the reason that you're not friends with someone anymore is to say, we lost touch. Now, a lot of times this just means like, we don't communicate anymore. Again, maybe you just live far away or you don't have a lot of things in common anymore. You don't have their phone number anymore. They deleted their social media. We lost touch. And this could just also be a nice way of saying like, I just don't talk to the person anymore. I don't like them. Without having to say that, because again, this can come off just really negative and really rude. So those are some really good sugar-coated phrases. We lost touch, we drifted apart, just to say you're not talking to someone anymore. Now let's talk about something that is so important when learning a language. It's learning how to ask for a favor, but in a really polite way. Because again, we want to be polite so that people know that our intentions are good when we ask for things and people will be more likely to help us out. A really, really good phrase to learn is, would you be so kind to... and then you ask them to do something for you. Now you can use this in small instances like, would you be so kind to pass me the salt when you're at a table with someone? Or you could say, would you be so kind to tell me what time it is? And this is just a really polite, extra polite way of asking someone for a small favor. Or a lot of times we use this phrase when we're asking for some sort of information like the time. Sometimes if you are in a crowded space and they're selling some food or something, recently I was at a basketball game and I was walking around the stadium and I was looking for popcorn and I saw someone holding some popcorn. And so I walked up to them and I said, would you be so kind as to tell me where you got that? This just means like, can you tell me where you bought that? Because I really want that too. And obviously if I'm stopping someone randomly in a crowded public place, like I want to be really polite when I ask them. And of course they were happy to tell me where they got the popcorn, and I love eating popcorn, so I was happy as well. If you want to ask to borrow something or just kind of intrude on someone's space, a good phrase to know is just adding, would it be all right if? Sometimes if you are eating at a restaurant, or not really a restaurant, but a place with lots of tables, maybe it's like a food court in a mall, a space and a library, and you have a group of people and you need an extra chair, and you see someone sitting at a table with extra chairs, you could say, would it be all right if I took this chair? Or if you show up to maybe a college or university or a business meeting somewhere where there's a group setting and you want to make sure that nobody is sitting in the chair already that you are going to sit in, you can ask the person sitting nearby, is it all right if I sit here? Is anyone sitting here? Is it all right? So is it all right if? Is it all right if I borrow your pen? This can just be a really polite, gentle, sugar-coated way of asking someone for something. When you want to make sure that you are not inconveniencing someone and you want to let them know that, you know, I think I'm asking for a pretty big favor or something that's going to require a lot of effort from you, you can say, it's a big ask. One time, my neighbor, their lawnmower was broken, and they said, it's a big ask, but could you mow part of our lawn? We'll pay you. And of course, we wanted to just be neighborly, be polite, be kind, so we did it for free. It was a big ask for them, because yes, it required a lot of our time, but you know, it was a really polite way of saying, like, we know this is kind of a big thing to ask. We're sorry if this is too much. It's a big ask, but could you do this? And a lot of times, you know, if you're polite, if you just acknowledge that it requires a lot of time or effort from someone, the person will be willing to do it just because it shows you're grateful for their time and effort. One really uncomfortable aspect of being at a new job, especially, you know, if you're just learning how to do the job and there's someone really knowledgeable, maybe it's your boss or just someone who's been working at the company for longer, you have to ask them a lot of questions. I want you to keep in mind these polite phrases that you can use instead of just apologizing, saying, sorry to ask, I'm so sorry, sorry. Because when you apologize too much, it implies that you're doing something wrong. And if you don't know the answer, it's definitely not wrong to ask. One way is just to say, I understand if you're busy. I understand if you're busy, but could I ask you a question real quick? Or you can say, I understand if you're busy, could I ask you a favor? This just acknowledges that the person has a lot of things to do and it's not always their responsibility to answer your questions, but, you know, it's being nice, saying, you know, you can say no, but I do have a question. And again, lots of times people are happy to help. Another way before you ask a question is to say, is this a convenient time for me to ask a question, or is this a convenient time for me to talk with you for a minute? This just lets them, you know, say, come back later. Oh no, this is fine. Come on in. This is a convenient time, especially if you don't have an appointment or if the person is typically very busy. Hey, is this a convenient time? Is this an inconvenient time? You can ask it either way, just asking the person if they have time to help you at the moment. And if you're asking for someone to do something or a favor, you can say, hey, if you get a minute, could you please send me this thing? Or could you please help me with this? This just states, you know, it doesn't really matter when you do it. I'm not ordering you to do it right now. I'm not trying to, again, inconvenience you, make this a bad time of doing something if you're too busy. But when you get a minute, or you can say, when you get a free minute, or a free moment, could you help me with this? Again, this is just being polite and it's being courteous to someone's time. While I say that we don't want to say sorry or apologize too many times, especially if you're just simply asking someone for help or for information, if you do want to just use these next phrases once in a while, I think that's a really polite way to make sure that, you know, someone knows you're not trying to bother them. So one way is to say sorry to impose. This just means sorry to, you know, bother you. Or if someone has to help you with a problem, you can say, oh, I'm sorry for the trouble. And typically people want to be polite, so they'll say, oh, it's no trouble at all. Like, don't apologize. Sorry to impose and sorry for the trouble. There are two really good phrases to use when you're asking someone something or you don't want to bother them. Finally, when you are wanting to say thank you in English, there's more than just one way, of course. I'm not going to tell you don't say thank you, because obviously it's a very powerful phrase in itself, thank you. But here are just some extra ways of expressing more gratitude or just switching up the phrase that you use. So a phrase that I like to say when someone hands me something or just does a quick favor for me, hey, can you get that for me? Thank you kindly. I like to say thank you kindly. It's just a fun, kind of different expression than just saying thank you. Another thing that I like to say is, oh, you're the best. When someone does something that is just super helpful, you can say, oh, you're the best. And it's just supposed to make the person feel good. It doesn't have to be literal. Like, they don't have to be literally the best person ever. But it's just saying, like, you are really great at helping out. If you want to say, you know, thanks for understanding that I made a mistake or I need some extra help, you know, you're kind of, it's almost like an apology, but you're not saying sorry. You can say, thanks for your understanding. Just use that phrase, thanks for your understanding. I'm so sorry I'm late. Thanks for your understanding. This is just showing that the person is very kind to you, even though you made a mistake or you had something kind of negative happen. When you are emailing someone and, you know, you're emailing them a question or a proposition, or especially if you're applying to a job, one way that we can close our email is to say, thanks for your consideration. And this just means thanks for taking the time to think about what I'm emailing to you, what I'm asking of you, or considering me for a job. So this phrase is very powerful in an email, especially. Finally, just a really nice way of expressing a lot of gratitude for someone who has been really helpful, really supporting, is just to say, your support means a lot to me. I like this phrase because I think it's important to tell people how much their kind words and their support actually is helping you out. Because some people think that they are not appreciated in life, and this just goes the extra mile to show that you really do care about their support and their effort. I really want to express how grateful I am that you guys continue to learn English with me, and I want to express my gratitude in you making it all the way to the end of this lesson. Hopefully you can now speak more politely in English, you can ask for things in a really polite way, you can thank someone for favors, you can welcome someone into your house without feeling like you're ordering them around, and you're just telling them to feel at home. If you want more polite English lessons, check out the next two on screen. I'll see you guys in the next English lesson video. Goodbye!